Welcome, Miguel, and thank you very much for being with us on this episode of Knowing Cernis.
Thank you very much. Thank you to you for having invited me. So it's a pleasure.
We start today's talk with a big question that pre-Socratic philosophers already asked themselves, and it is, Miguel, who are you?
who am I? It's a very deep question, and I'm not sure I can answer it in a regular Thursday morning now. But look, I think I am a regular guy in many aspects. That doesn't mean that I'm boring or whatever. I just think that I am a regular person trying to find his way into life with the people that. That I like, not alone for sure. This is something that I always say about me, is that I am, part of me is always part of the people that I love, part of the people that like me. So, I mean, I'm an individual that depends strongly on the people that I love. What else? I'm a determined person, sometimes stubborn. well, I think we all are. I can be a bit
yes, you're right.
I'm just looking for my happy place in the world somehow. It's very philosophical, but it is true. I mean, I don't know what I can approach to say differently.
We rewind a bit for talking about the past, that now that we know you a bit. And where did you come from?
Yeah, so I am Portuguese. I was born and raised in Lisbon. I lived there pretty much all my life until I was something like 20 years old, and then I moved to the Netherlands to do my master's there. Actually, when people ask me that question, I always tend to say, especially in the Portuguese context, that although I was born and raised in Lisbon, my family, both my parents, come from the inside of Portugal, like rural area of Portugal. And throughout my childhood and throughout all my life, I was always going back to my grandparents' house. Pretty frequently, I mean, not every weekend, but I would say every month at least. And for instance, in the summer holidays, I would spend a lot of time there working with them and helping them in the fields. And so I normally say this in the Portuguese context to kind of also separate myself from that idea of city boy that does not know anything about like the hardships of life somehow. So in the Portuguese context, I always tend to say this. And of course, it also applies here. I mean, it's true that although I lived all my life in the center of Lisbon, I don't necessarily consider myself like a city person, let's put it this way, or a pure city person.
Yes, I can feel you there because I'm from Madrid. So every time I don't like to say it, but the thing is that I say I'm from Madrid, and then I add from the south of Madrid, which is not the capital, like a detail.
To make it
yeah.
And okay, and then just to give also a little bit of more background about me, so I studied aerospace engineering in Lisbon, mm-hmm. and in the Netherlands, as I said, and now I work at CERN, of course, otherwise I would not be here, and born at TIT. I don't know if you want to know more details.
Just how long have you been working at CERN?
Yeah, okay, so I started at CERN in 2017, so almost October 2017, so almost 3 years now, working in the HLHE project, so in the project office.
So what do you miss the most, I would say, not just from Lisbon, but from Portugal in general?
okay, so I have to say that I knew that question was coming, when I read the question, because you sent them in advance very kindly, but when I read that question, the answer, like, I knew the answer, like, straight away. The thing is, like, there is one very nice thing about Portugal, and in Lisbon also particularly, that is the sunset. Like, Portugal, if you look at the map, basically our coast is turned, let's say, to the west. So every day, well, not every day, but let's say very, very frequently, we have these awesome sunsets. Here in Geneva, this is not true at all. In Geneva, you have this big mountain that is turning west and that blocks the sun during, like, let's say, 2 hours, 1 hour and a half, 2 hours before the sunset. You have this Jura mountain that completely blocks it. Sometimes you get lucky with some nice reflections on the Salève, but nothing comparable.
No.
So I think the thing that I miss the most about Portugal, it sounds bizarre, but it's true, and it's the sunset. Then, of course, I could say the food, the people. Of course, the people, you always miss them. But I would say, like, specifically about the country, it would be that. And specifically, also because in Geneva, it is true. I like a lot the region. I'm very happy here, but the sunsets.
Yeah.
On the contrary, the sunrises are nice, but the sunsets.
Yeah, it's not the same. Okay, now we're gonna go to the future. And I would like to share my dreams with you. I can imagine myself maybe writing a novel, a really good novel, now that I'm starting to write a bit more. And I would like to know, what are the dreams of an aerospatial engineer like you?
Well, to that question, I didn't prepare any answer, because the honest question is I don't necessarily know. Well, I think I already answered that question in the beginning when I said that I just wanted to be happy and to have my life with the people, to live my life with the people that I love, and with my friends, with my dogs. I think I never had it, honestly, and perhaps it's something weird, but I don't know if I'm the only one in that case, but I never had like this specific dream to say I want to achieve these super somehow unrealistic, which is fine because dreams are supposed to be really realistic. But I really don't know the answer to that question. I would say that as long as I do something that makes me happy, that makes me motivated to wake up, to go to work, to pick up my computer, to build something new, to continue on improving something or whatever, as long as I am part of also a team, for instance. A team, for instance, is also very important to me work-wise, and now talking a bit work-wise. As long as I have that, and then that I can do the things that I love with the people that I love, I'm happy, I'm fine. And I think that as long as you are happy, let's say the purpose of life is met. So I really don't know the answer to that question.
No, but that's already a good one. So we were talking before about sunsets. That reminds me to beauty, for sure. And I would like to know, what do you think of when you hear the word beauty?
I think about a lot of stuff. I think the thing that, let's say, is common to all the things that I think about when you say the word beauty, the word that is common is, I think, love. And when I say that, I mean a very broad number of things that go from my family, my girlfriend, my dogs, also to, for instance, nature or animals, wild animals, or like a mountain. I mean, a snowy mountain is amazing, is a very, very beautiful, one of the most beautiful things that I've seen live with my eyes. So the point is, beauty is such a broad word. And that is good, because if it was a strict definition, it would be very hard to live in this world. And I think that, honestly, I mean, this is very cheesy and very cliche, but I think beauty can be found in so many places that when you say the word beauty, I don't immediately think of something. Perhaps I have some landscapes in mind or some moments that I shared with my family, with my girlfriend. But I, again, and sorry for that, I cannot specify one thing only. Perhaps my answers are being very, very bad. It is true. I'm sorry. When you say the word beauty, so many things come to my mind that it's hard to mention just a few. It would be unfair for the others if I would mention just a few.
That broad aspect of beauty reminds me to poetry. And so here I come with another poet from Lisbon, which is Fernando Pessoa. So under one of his heteronyms, Alberto Caeiro, he wrote some verses that I sent you. I don't know if you've got them here.
I can retrieve them.
Please, because, I mean, I can't read them, but it's going to be a mess. And I will feel so sorry for Pessoa.
No, I have them here, yes. Just the ones that you sent, so not the poem, right?
Yes, no, just those three ones.
Okay. So, okay, I'm going to read them. In Portuguese, of course, no?
Please, please.
As flores florirão da mesma maneira e as árvores não serão menos verdes que na primavera passada. A realidade não precisa de mim. It's very deep.
Yes. So what do the verses suggest to you?
Well, the first thing is that it brings me back to high school where we had to analyze these polyglots. And I mean, I'm an engineer, I'm a science guy, and Portuguese, well, Portuguese, I mean, not Portuguese the language, but Portuguese the school subject where we had to analyze all these poems and all these Portuguese authors, like, it was not my favorite thing. I have to confess straight away, I'm not the biggest fan of poetry. Like, I like them when I see them, but I don't know. Like, I don't look for them, but when they come across, for instance, now that you sent this particular poem to me, I like to read them, but I have to confess that they don't... Probably they don't, let's say, they don't raise the same kind of feelings in me that they would raise in perhaps you. That said, in this particular case, yeah, like I think, like he says at a certain point, the last verse, you say?
Yes, I think so.
The last sentence is, reality does not need me. And I think this is a bit depressing. I mean, yeah. Maybe reality as a whole does not need one specific person, but I think that, for instance, I am pretty sure that my reality needs me. And when I say my reality, I mean, again, my family, my girlfriend, my dogs, my friends. That reality for sure needs me. Okay, maybe the tree up in the mountain does not need me, but that doesn't make it less worth it. And I think that to write it in this manner. Oh, okay.
Okay, yeah, that was very interesting.
You see, like it doesn't ring that much of feelings, and it's also true that this particular writer, this particular poet, Fernando Pessoa, is very peculiar sometimes in what he writes.
Yes, he's in general a bit depressive.
Absolutely, like he has, I think he has like five main heteronyms that we study all of them in school, and then he has dozens of others. And it's really like different personalities, different writing styles. Like there is one that is super happy, another one that is super depressive, another one that I think is this one, Albert Kay, that is all about nature. But okay, I mean, it's really not my thing. I appreciate somehow, but not to the certain, like not to the same level of many people, I would say.
Okay.
It's what makes it good, no? I mean, if everyone reacted to the same way to any type of art, I think it would not be art anymore. It would be a piece of news informing or whatever. So the fact that some people relate more or less, it's what makes it so good.
So we do not abandon the Portuguese yet, because I'm going to ask you if you could teach people from other countries a proverb from Portugal, which one would it be and why?
Okay, so I chose one that is Quem semeia ventos colhe tempestades. And I will give two translations. I will give one literal translation and then I will explain it. I mean, another not so literal translation, but still a translation. So the translation would be something like those who sow winds reap storms. So basically it means those who disseminate wind receive back storms. And I chose this one because it's not that I believe in karma or anything, but I think that, if you kind of get back what you give to the universe, and if you are this kind of a super negative person that is throwing bad feelings in general around, you will somehow get it back, okay? And your life will be, let's say, a bit more miserable because of that. And on the other side, if you are a happy person, if you spread good feelings around the people that you like and the people that you hang out with, and not only the people, also towards the nature. Like if you go for hikes for the mountains, if you go for bike rides, and if you don't, if you have, for instance, a sustainable mind, if you go in the green direction, which I think it's absolutely fundamental these days. If you live in a society following society rules, and on top of those rules you add something positive, I think you somehow become happier, let's put it this way. And this Portuguese saying goes in that direction.
Yes, it's kind of karma, but also, I completely understand you.
But, Perhaps, okay, perhaps I do believe in karma somehow. I don't know. I don't like this absolute statement, but yeah.
So at this point of the interview, we change our roles. So now you're going to be the interviewer and you have the possibility to ask what you like to our next journey. So please, Miguel, feel free to drop here your question.
Well, actually, I just started talking about this topic in my previous answer. But so, you know, we all know, of course, global warming has been lately everywhere on the media, on our reality. And it is really, I think, a very important topic that our generation, and when I say our generation, I mean, I assume that we are more or less in the same age, but it's not only our generation, it's the responsibility of every generation that is living in this planet right now. It is our responsibility as a species, okay? But it is true that this reality has been around us for a long time, but I would say that in the last 2 years, it has become, like, the demand for change has been the highest it has ever been. And also in general, the awareness levels are growing. And I mean, the awareness levels in everyone. And therefore, my question to the next journey would be if you could give an example of something that you have changed recently in your life, in your daily routine, something concrete, towards contributing to a more sustainable future. But it must be something that you have changed in, I mean, let's say in the last year, something that you were not doing before, and because of these increase in demand for change, you have decided to change in your life.
Okay, so we'll listen this afternoon the answer. We'll see.
Okay, perfect. Good. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. And now we came back to our roles. And our previous journey, yes. Ruben, he left this question for you. How can social distancing and this new normality affect the scientific and technological field, for instance, a large international organization such as CERN?
Yeah, it's a very important question, especially regarding everything that is going on. I mean, I'm giving this interview from my home on a work day, and this by itself means that it, of course, affects everyone, especially. Well, especially, no, but I mean, also large international organizations like CERN. But in that sense, I think that answer must be split in two. I don't see any other way to answer. The first is the immediate impact. And the immediate impact it's obvious. I mean, it is affecting everyone, including the scientific and technological field, especially also large international organizations such as CERN. I mean, the whole program of CERN had to be suspended. And of course, everyone was sent home to work from home, which for some people it's fine. For instance, for me, it is fine. I could do my work in the same manner, but for a lot of people it was not fine. We had to suspend a lot of activities. And of course, this has major impacts in the organization's objectives, in the organization's future. The points that the organization needed to achieve this year, they probably will not be achieved because of these things. So I think that the immediate impact is rather big, okay? Then the long-term impact, and this is the second aspect that I would like to address. I don't think, well, maybe I'm naive, but I don't think when I say long-term impact, I say, let's say, in 1 year when the vaccine, hopefully, is available and the COVID is behind our back. I don't think, but maybe I am extremely naive, but I don't think it will change our world, like, in that sense. And it will not change the scientific technological field that much. I mean, I hope it changes something because I think we all always need to learn with what happens. But I don't think it will dramatically change. I don't think if we compare, let's say, 2019 with 2022, okay, I'm saying that in 2022 we are all back to normal, I don't think it will be a dramatic change. Of course, then we can bring other factors in, like financial crisis and all that. But that I would say, first, it's not an interesting topic to talk about. And then I would say that it's also too soon to tell. Okay?
Yes.
It's for sure there is a crisis coming, but the impact is, I think it's too early to tell.
Yes, better not to anticipate that future and stay here in the present a bit more.
it's too dark to look at that, so let's put it under the carpet.
Yeah. And to close the podcast, we face the QQ, which seems something Frenchified, but actually it's just a quick quiz based on recommendations. So Miguel, if you could only recommend a book to everyone, which one would it be?
Lately, and since I moved to Geneva, I have been reading a lot less, which is actually very unfortunate. But my favorite book of all times is a book by José Saramago, who is the only Portuguese novel in literature that we have. And when I say Portuguese, I put Brazilian authors, Portuguese language in general. And the book itself is called, I will say it in Portuguese, and then I looked for the English name, but it's called As Intermitências da Morte, which means the English title is Death with Interruption.
Yeah.
And it is very interesting. It is also very philosophical about life and all that, and it is very nice.
We are going with Saramago in our next journey because he is also from Portugal. So I decided, okay, Pessoa for you, and for the next one is going to be Saramago.
Ah, come on. I would have preferred Saramago. No, I'm joking. I mean, I'm not joking. I would have preferred, but it was fine to get Pessoa.
Okay. If you could only recommend a film or a TV series, which one would it be?
Look, I'm going for a TV series. I had one of each prepared, but I'm going for a TV series. There is a very, very good TV series on Netflix that is called Our Planet.
Yeah.
And it is an animal show, okay? It is like that BBC Earth TV shows that, everyone has seen. But this particular one focuses a lot on climate change, focuses a lot on the impact of climate change on the lives of the animals. And it is done in a particular, the documentary took years to film, okay? It took years to put together. And they have incredible footages also with like technology that was not available in the times that BBC was doing their wildlife documentaries. And this particular documentary, I think it is mandatory for everyone on this planet to watch.
It's a really good one.
Yeah.
And finally, if you could tell us a song also for closing the podcast, which one would it be?
Okay, so that one I had to confess it was a bit hard to choose one. And I decided like 5 minutes before the podcast. I went with a Brazilian song, a Bossa Nova song, so very chill, like to put on a Sunday morning when you are having your breakfast. But it kind of like it's about love, but at the same time the good part of love, and it's very nice. It's called Sorriu para mim, like smiled at me in a literal translation, from João Gilberto.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much, Miguel. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for making me think about these things on a work day at 10 a.m. Okay, let's start talking about the deep matters of life. It was very interesting. Thank you very much.